Wednesday, January the 5th. I wish we could do something about these sleepless nights. Brendan said he slept from 12:30 to 2:30 and then turned and tossed the rest of the night. And yet he gets up and puts in a full day's work. The day began very sadly. We got a phone call from a doctor at Scott & White that Mrs. Contine-Floss had died. We got off the best wire we could, and all words are hollow. As Lyndon left to go to work, he turned to me and said, We've lost the steel fight. We may lose the war. They are going to indict Bobby. There comes a time when there's nothing to do but go ahead grimly, and that's how today felt. In the morning, I went down to see movies. Finished Product with voice dubbed in of the 1941 Senate campaign. It's really rather good. I look back on my work a quarter of a century ago and am pleased with myself. Now there's the gargantuan job of putting voice to all those that I've made in 65. And I'm getting the rest of the old movies in permanent form for the archives. All the talking is already on them, but it may be checked for errors and to see if it could be made better. When I came upstairs, I heard that unaccustomed sound, a scream in the hall of the second floor of the White House, and saw Gloria the maid running out full steam from Lucy's room, followed by Lucy, who had in her hand a large yellow-looking rat. Gloria saw me jump straight up in the air and dashed into another door. By that time, Lucy was in giggles and coming toward me, and I saw that the rat was quite dead. She said that he was preserved in formalin, had a sort of a zipper arrangement on his stomach, whereby you could open him up and fit in all of his insides. He was part of her zoology course in school. The things she's added to this old house would make a delightful book. And then I saw a noon paper, and it said that the steel companies had settled for $2.75. instead of the $5 they had demanded. So my spirits couldn't help but lift. If not total victory, at least a measure of success. I had lunch with Lucy and worked with Ashton on my finances and Christmas gifts, and then talked to Stanley about a chef. It seems it's a rare breed of man and very expensive. Stanley was not too optimistic. It seemed that all the ones he had talked to would have to have complete freedom, that is, no supervision by a food coordinator, before they would be interested in the job. Brendan came in for lunch after 3, and then, thank heavens, lay down for a nap. I worked at my desk on the list for the Shastri dinner and talked to the Speaker, the Chief Justice, and the Vice President to settle on a date with them for the dinner in honor of them. It will be the 26th of January. The day's brickbats were not over. Another one is a story in the paper that Ammon Nugent gets transferred to Washington. Will not be separated from his fiancée, Lucy Johnson, by military service for the next 6 months after all. It's quite a run-of-the-mill transfer. He's accepted a job here after he's released, but it sounds like special privilege. But there was one delightful thing in the paper. A picture of the 5 puppies clambering out of a huge basket. Beagle standing sullenly beside them, wondering, I expect, why anybody found them so attractive when he was around. At 5 o'clock, I had a nice interlude. Howard Taubman of the New York Times interviewed me at considerable length about how I felt about art in general, painting, drama, books, and about how my feeling and the president's feeling were reflected in this administration and in the legislation it had helped pass. I talked about my desires for this house, to acquire 4 or 5 more of the great American painters, a Copley, a Benjamin West, a George Caleb Bingham, an Aikens, an Ennis. And I showed him those we had acquired, the Winslow Homer and the Sully and the Mary Cassatt. And we talked of the contemporary ones that had been hung in the West Wing, where you don't have to respect the dictum about hanging on the artists who've been dead for 25 years or more. I have no idea how I sounded to him, but it's a subject I'll enjoy and love to listen about and to talk about. I tried to explain that I go to the Van Gogh opening and to the Barter Theater in Abington and to dedicate the new wing at the Modern Museum of Art and to Traviata at the Opera and have a reception for Thornton Wilder to receive the award here at the White House, because I like to, I enjoy it, not to set an example or be a leader. It comes naturally, and yet, if my doing it and this does sound presumptuous, makes other people want to do it, makes others have the opportunity of being exposed to new joys, new things, then I'm glad. It will be interesting to see what he comes up with for my rather nebulous talk. I kept on thinking afterwards of all the things I should have said. We'd asked the Deasons and the Reardons to come to dinner and to pick up the puppies they had been promised. I worked at my desk until the Deasons arrived about 7:40, and then we sat around the fire in the yellow room. Lyndon joined us a little past 8. And at the same time, in came Mr. Bryant with a whole basket full of puppies that he promptly dumped out on the floor. And they scattered in all directions, under sofas and chairs, chasing tails and biting ears and tumbling over each other. While we shrieked with laughter, Lucy quickly picked up hers. She has no difficulty telling her choice. She has a little freckle on her nose. Bill and Marianne selected theirs. And then we went in to dinner. Marianne had the most glowing compliments to pay Lucy. She'd had an interview with her that afternoon, a rather long one, for a piece she's doing in, I believe, Good Housekeeping. And now is the time for some good ones. I read a while in Guns of August and went to sleep before midnight. Better.